Okay. The last portion is to me very, very important because in our work here, the devil is out there to destroy us. The devil seeks to destroy and to kill and to ruin our work. And he has been at it for thousands and thousands of years. And whenever we do good, he will come at us with greater ferocity and greater strength. So, halimbawa, di ba Brother Eddie ran for president? I was among the few who said he's not going to win. And I said from the beginning, during a meeting at CCF, I said, he's not going to win. Because I've been in politics for a long time. I organized a lot of political campaigns, and I knew that he was not going to win because he did not prepare. Because the organization came in too late. The organization started February, and the election was going to be May. I said, it's not going to work that way. It's not. It's like you're taking the bar exam, and you only reviewed for a week. It's not going to work that way. It's not. The devil won't make it easy for us. The devil won't make it easy for us. So, dito, meron kang mangyayaring conflict, meron kang mangyayaring crisis. It will not be smooth sailing all the time. There will be causes of conflict and disagreement, meron kang misinterpretation of things. So, we will not be able to tackle all possible conflict situations, but I'll try to summarize it to a few things that normally cause people to be in conflict and normally cause crisis. Okay, conflict can start small and can become big. Now, the Bible says, what causes conflicts among you? These are desires that battle within you. You have a desire, you can't get it, and then another person has a desire, and there's a conflict of desire. But there are five things that I, per observation and experience, have been causing a lot of conflict and crisis for many organizations. And the acronym is GAPS. See, when you do planning, these are the gaps, these are the gaps, these are the gaps. Normally, conflicts or crises arise when there are opposing goals. If this group is going this way, this person is going the other way, if you have a conflict or lack of understanding what the actual goal is, normally, magkakaroon ka ng konting conflict. Granting that you agreed on the goal, there is a possibility that you will have a conflict in the approach. We want to do it this way, you want to do it another way. Let's say this group wants to, let's say, hire a professional organizing team. And the other group wants to, like, we can do it ourselves. So you have a conflict of approach right there. Do it ourselves, pass it on. Do it with volunteers, do it ourselves. Meron kang approach conflict. So you have to agree on the goals very clearly, and you have to agree on the approach very clearly. What the goal of this portion is to get you to be technical, almost diagnostic when you're looking at a conflict or crisis situation. When there's a crisis situation or conflict situation, you immediately set your diagnostic hat and see, is this a conflict of goals? Is there a lack of clarity in where we're going and what we really want to achieve? Is this an approach problem? Do we hire a marketing team? Do we hire this? Do we hire that? Do we do it this way or that way? So be clear on your approach. Number three, cause priorities. People might want to do this item first. Others would want to do another item first. Especially if you're building a house or building an event, there are certain priorities. And how you will allocate personnel and resources and time will determine what the priorities are. So, people can be judged for being slow when in fact they really just want to do something else. They're not necessarily slow. Halimbawa, meron kang event, ang gusto niyang gawin ay yung program. Ang isa naman ay gusto niyang gawin yung pag-invite ng guests because they have different priorities. We all come from different backgrounds and we prioritize things differently. So you have to agree on priorities. So that's the third cause of conflict. Number four, when there are performance standards, how opposing performance standards. To me, this is good enough. To that person, not good enough. To this person is an excellent work. So kung meron kang lack of understanding what is good enough, what is excellent, and what is failed, then you will have some conflict or crisis situation. Kasi halimbawa, you assigned it to this person and he thinks it was okay. Because that's his standard of quality. But you didn't find it good enough. So you don't have a problem of a person really wanting to fail. It's just that for that person's experience and training, that's what he thinks is good enough. So if you have that opposing standards, then you have to tweak your organization a little bit. Or maybe assign it to the person because that person just cannot perform it right. Not because he doesn't want to, not because he's not honoring God enough, but simply because the performance standards for his age, for his training, for his skill level is not quite there. So, titingnan mo yon. And then finally, we end with the third, last, and mostly blamed source of conflict, which is personality differences. People always think, kasi ganyan talaga yan. Mabagal talaga yan. And that person is a creative. That person is not a marketing person or a salesperson, so he will do things slowly. Or halimbawa, I'm a go, go, go action person versus a very deliberate planning-oriented person. These people will do things in a different way and with their own timing. So, posibleng, hindi naman talaga sila masama. Kasi, who says slow is bad and fast is good? Who says loud is good and soft is slow? The Lord created them different. The Lord created them to perform specific roles. So, personalities, pero kung halimbawa, the goals are clear, the approaches are clear, the priorities are clear, the performance standards are somehow nandun, and they just can't work together. Meron talagang ganon. They just don't somehow gel. Hindi talaga pwede. Then you can decide to move them around. So, whenever there's a situation, think of gaps. Number one, first G is goals, approaches, first priorities, performance standards, and personalities. Never, ever jump to personalities before you even take a look at the other causes. Ganun muna, bago mo puntahan yung personality. Kasi baka hindi lang malinaw. Now, what happens if there's conflict? And why is it important for us to manage it? Whether conflict at home or conflict in the workplace or conflict here in church, because people will notice it. Volunteers will feel it. Volunteers will know it. Churchmates, teammates will notice it. If you have a problem at home, they will sense it and it could affect them. Why is that? Why is conflict such a powerful thing that people will notice? Because of what you call the fight or flight response. What does the fight or flight response does to a person? The fight response does this. When you have that fight or flight response, it triggers a physiological change. There's a change in the body. Pag merong threat, human beings like animals prepare to fight. So what happens when you prepare to fight? Blood centers in the core of your body. It will leave your extremities. Kaya ka namumutla. Why? So that when you run, you get cut, you will not bleed to death. That's a natural survival instinct of a person. Because the core of the body is where power comes from. Those who do karate or sports, no, it's the core. You need to work your core. Because that's where all the energy, that's where all the power comes from. Pupunta doon. Kaya ka namumutla, kaya ka mag-shake yung kwan kasi nandito yung... And then blood pumps. And then what happens is, your breathing is bated. Kaya ka mamumutla yung iyong mukha. Now, that's why people notice when you're not okay, when there's a conflict situation. Especially if it's a big event. That's why you need help. That's why you need a person to talk to. Kailangan mong mag-relax. Kaya nga meron daw urge to smoke whenever there's crisis or whenever there's, I know it's not here, but what can we learn from smoking? Okay, that's a good lesson, right? What can we learn from smoking? Or what can we learn from, right? It simply stabilizes your breathing. Nothing else. Smoking, the smokers do this. Whew. So whenever there's crisis, mimic a smoker's breathing. And you have the nicotine. Okay, mimic a smoker's breathing. That's what it does. Okay, so for most of us, by the way, conflict, this fight or flight response should be managed if there's a conflict and it could cause harm. But this is also the same weapon the Lord gave us to perform well. The flight or fight response will make us perform beyond normal. World records are not broken during practice. They're broken during world championships and in the Olympics because that's when you perform beyond normal. In fact, this is my tip to all of you. When you have an event, when you're doing something and you're not nervous, you should be nervous. When you're not nervous, that means you're not treating it important enough. You're not giving it the value that it deserves. That's why I was so happy when I was preparing for this because I was nervous. I do speaking a lot. When I'm not nervous, wala. Malamia. Dry. Walang energy. So, whenever you're doing something and it's very, very important and you feel lethargic, na parang wala kang gana, go to a brother or sister and ask them to tell you why that is important. Why what we're doing is very, very important. This is important because, this is important because, this is important because. Learn the consequences, and the consequences will get your adrenaline going, and you will perform well. But if there's a conflict, it can also do the same to you, so you also have to manage it. But not all crises or conflict are bad. In fact, crisis, conflict can be an opportunity. So these are the four opportunities of conflict. It is an opportunity to foster tolerance and acceptance. It is when there's conflict that we really know each other better, that we understand the person's character. You know, there's a world survey, and the trend toward of governments now and corporations is, kasi yung governments measure GDP and GNP, right? Now they're measuring happiness. They're trying to measure what makes people happy. Kasi nga, you might be so rich, you might be so wealthy, but if your citizens are not happy, hindi pa rin siya okay. So, one of the factors in determining the happiness of a person is really tolerance and acceptance. If people are accepted for who they are, if they're not judged, especially in a church, then they are happier and they will be more inspired to do the work. Pangalawa, it's an opportunity for us whenever there's failure to deliver, or bad character, it's actually an opportunity for us to serve that brother or that sister. Why is that? When you grow old, hindi mo nakasama yung nanay mo to tell you, you know what? Tamad ka. Alam mo, medyo taklesa ka. Oh. Alam mo, medyo masungit ka talaga. Nobody will tell you that. Wala ka ng nanay or tatay or kapatid who will tell you that. We're here working. You're here in this environment, and you actually spend a great portion of your life here. In fact, a greater portion of your life here. You will not be spending it with your husband, your wife, or your boyfriend, your girlfriend, no. You will be spending it here, where you're working. Kasi in your 24 hours, the big chunk of it, is work is equal to sleep. And you spend work with the people you work with. So it is an opportunity for us to serve and honor God, and honor each, bless each other. If we see each other failing, and ito, that's the opportunity for us to show grace and love and minister and disciple each other towards and encourage one another towards love and good deeds. So it's an opportunity to serve. So when something wrong happens, like it. When someone fails, enjoy it because it's an opportunity to serve. It's also an opportunity for us to grow in patience, in love, in forbearance, in understanding ourselves better, and controlling our flight or fight response, controlling our anger. It's also an opportunity. So when something happens, praise the Lord because that happened. And finally, it's an opportunity for us to focus on common interests. Sometimes we forget what we're here for. Many times we forget what we want to achieve. Many times we forget the goals. But when something wrong happens, merong kapalpakan, it's an opportunity to remind, this is our goal, ito yung ating mga approaches, that's the best time. People learn when they fail. That's the best time to do that. Okay? So it's an conflict is an opportunity to foster tolerance and acceptance, to serve, to grow, to direct focus on common interest. Now, I'd like to, this is the last few minutes of the talk. We're going to end early. I will give you some tips on how to manage those crisis situations and conflict situations. Number one, the first thing we need to do is really manage the instinct. You have to manage the fight or flight response. You have to manage that urge to be mad. You have to manage the urge to say a harsh word. But you can manage it by recognizing unang-una that it's natural for the person. And Lord, please help me manage this instinct. Who among you here are by nature fight people? Fight people? Who among you here are by nature flee people? You're fleeing. Okay. You know, this is a different crowd because for most of the talks that I do, they don't raise their hands. You know why? Because you say, they say, kung kaya, edi fight. Kung hindi kaya, edi flee. Kids, they take it on a situation per situation basis. Na kung kaya daw, fight. Kung hindi daw kaya, flee. Ganun tayo normally. Pero the question is really instinct. What is your default reaction? What's your natural tendency? So if your natural tendency is towards, naku, nung gagalaiti ka na kaagad, then you pray to the Lord to manage that. That's what you need to correct. And you also, because the Lord said, when something wrong happens, what should you do? Approach, di ba? The Lord encourages to approach. If you're a flea, you're also not obeying. When you're fight, the Lord also tells you, oops, careful with your anger. So you also have to manage that. But the Lord made you unique with those characteristics, so you perform a certain way. So manage your instinct. The first one is never conclude. How to manage the instinct? Never, ever conclude. To those of you who do Facebook, and that's almost 100%, I'm sure you read the story about the dad who got a call from their house na yung bago niyang kotse pininturahan ng anak niya. So when he got home, he whacked his child and disciplined his child and hurt his child. When he got out and went to the garage, he saw spray painted on his car, "I love you, Dad." See, painting, spray painting is bad per se if you don't understand the context of the situation. So if you immediately jump into a conclusion, then hindi magiging tama ang consequences. The same site, Facebook, if you're familiar with Facebook, there's this story of a dad who was in the hospital and he was so mad because the doctor was not there yet. Because it was an emergency situation, an ER situation, so he was expecting that doctor to be there, and that doctor has to be there because he's a professional. What he didn't know was the doctor came late because the doctor had to bury his own son. So meaning, people will do certain things because of their own context. A context that we do not see. So if we immediately make conclusions, then we are fueling that instinct. So before we even make conclusions, that's why you say, the Bible says, do not judge, because you don't know the situation. You don't know the context. So never ever make conclusions based on what you perceive. Number two, do not assume that you know. Marami sa atin, nagtatanong na tayo. Something happens. We inquire from people about the situation. And then, when the person comes to us to explain, we say, ah, hindi, alam ko na yan. Ganito, ganito, ganito ang nangyari. You assume that you know. You assume that you understand the situation. You assume that you have a perfect knowledge of the facts. You assume. You see, the moment you assume is the moment you stop caring. Whether that's a wife or a husband or a coworker, if you think, ah, okay lang kay Carol yon, ah, okay lang kay Pam yon, ah, okay lang kay Carlos yon, whatever it is, if you begin to assume that it's okay, that's not going to be good because you fail to ask. it will stop you from asking, my wife, I'm coming late, I'm coming home late. I should ask her all the time, every single time, is it okay? The moment I stop asking, I assume that it's okay with her, is the moment I stop caring. Works at home, works in the workplace as well. So the moment you catch yourself assuming that you know, realize that the moment you assume, you stop yourself from asking, from caring what that other person has to say given the situation. So never assume. If you do not conclude, if you don't assume, then you will get the facts. Get the facts right. Ask for the details. Pagtanong mo, kompletuhin mo yung details so you can act accordingly. Because you can only act based on facts and not based on conclusions or assumptions. And lastly, for that particular managing instinct portion, you have to give yourself time. Because our anger can last a certain period depending on our own attributes, on how the Lord made us. Some would last for minutes, some would last for hours, others, anger of others can last for days. Pero hindi naman pwedeng, sige ah, you have an event. Saan ka? Sa Boracay. Bakit? Galit ako eh. Umalis. Aalis ka dahil galit ka. Hindi yon. The goal is simply to manage it well enough that you can talk. To manage it well enough to stop yourself from concluding, to stop yourself from assuming, to open yourself to hear the facts. Because if you're still mad, you will not hear the facts. You will not hear the facts. You will not hear the details. You will not have the patience for it. So give yourself some time. Give yourself some time. But again, just enough time to know the facts. Not time to go to Boracay or to Hong Kong because you're mad. Okay? Ang sabi sa Bible, whenever there's a conflict or situation, the proverb says, it is good for man to overlook an offense. So, whenever there's an offense, it is best for us to overlook it. Meaning, ipagkibit balikat. Huwag seryosohin lahat. But if it's a sin issue, kung kasalanan, then it's a different matter altogether. Then you have the protocol provided in the Bible on how to deal with sin. If it's a character issue, and you know that that is an opportunity to serve the person, then huwag mong ipagkibit balikat because it's a character flaw that can be corrected by proper counseling, by proper rebuke, by proper reminder, by showing the person the word. Okay? So know when you are overlooking and when you are nagtitimpi. Because Filipinos are so fond of talagang yung compounding faults, compounding offense, and then you just explode at some point. So be very sensitive because overlooking means voluntarily forgiving the person for that little offense, for being halimbawa a little taklesa. You know naman there's no evil intent, there's no ill intent, talagang nagkakatuwaan lang, and maybe in their house that's how they joke, but in your house you're the sensitive lot, you're the sensitive group, you don't take those kinds of jokes. So pwedeng ipagkibit balikat mo na lang yon because that might just be a cultural matter. Third thing is, you go and negotiate. The Bible says when there's an offense, you approach a brother. You approach a brother to negotiate, to talk about it. Now, the problem is, many times we don't know how to do it. This is what you call the crucial confrontation part. The crucial confrontation part has to be handled well. And there's this sentence that helps us deal with the crucial confrontation part. It's called the I feel sentence. There are four elements in a crucial confrontation. Number one, you have to be honest with your feeling and never with your conclusions or your thoughts. Number two, specify the incident. Number three, specify the interpretation. And number four, explain the consequence. Always with the consequence. So the I feel sentence goes like this. And I suggest that you practice the I feel sentence. The I feel sentence goes like this. I feel mad because during the family gathering kanina, nilaglag mo ako. There was a joke that hurt me. Because we agreed never to talk ill of each other or to bring down a person in public. That's our agreement. As a consequence, I felt left out. I wanted to leave. And it just changed my demeanor that day. So, itong sentence na ito, kompleto. I feel, be very, very honest with how you feel. You can be honest with your feeling. Why? Because your feeling is something that you don't create. Feeling is something that happens as a reaction to an incident. So, halimbawa, si Trisha, meron akong nasabi, and that's how she feels based on what I said. Nangyari yon dahil dun sa sinabi ko. Hindi yung, I want to feel mad. Iba yon. Hindi rin pwedeng sabihin mong, Carlos, you know what? I feel na tatanga-tanga ka. Iba yun. That's not a feeling. That's actually a conclusion, a judgment. So, but you can say, you know, I feel disappointed. I feel disappointed because you came late. Kasi ang usapan natin ganito. And you know that the consequence is like this. Okay? So yun kompleto. The feeling, the incident, the usapan, and the consequence. So whenever you approach a person and there's an emotion to it, this way kasi you will be loving because you're talking about the fact, you're honest about the feeling. And what's nice pa with the feeling, once you express that feeling, let's say, I feel mad, it immediately diffuses it. Because pent-up emotion is stronger. An expressed emotion is diffused emotion. When you say it, na may galit, you're disappointed, it helps diffuse that feeling. When you can already name it, when you can already label it, it immediately diffuses it. When you can name and label it, it diffuses the emotion. So, say the emotion, say the incident specifically because you did this. And then say the usapan or the interpretation. Kasi ang usapan natin ganito. Because I expected you to act like this. That's your interpretation. And then as a consequence. And then explain the consequence. Can we try it? Can you find a partner? Just talk about, to those who are, pwede kayo, you can find a partner. I feel blank because when you blank, because blank, as a result, blank. Okay. It doesn't have to be in English, by the way. Or if you're mad, when you're mad and you speak in English, that's okay to speak in English. But if you're more comfortable and you normally express yourself in Filipino when you're disappointed, please do so. Okay. I feel blank when you blank because blank as a result blank. Okay? 1, 2, 3, go. That's good. That's complete. That's complete. The goal is for the message to be complete. The feeling is there because you want to the incident is there, the basis is there, and the consequence is there. Okay, now, let's transform it into a positive thing. Because positive should also be complete. And the I feel sentence can also be used to communicate something positive. Halimbawa, you're very happy with the performance of this volunteer. It's good for him to know what exactly you're happy about, why you're happy, and what the beautiful consequence is. Okay? So practice it. Try to use something positive. Okay, let's give ourselves a big hand. Okay. This skill is something that I really recommend to everyone. I use it with my wife, and parang ito ay rules of war. You know, in international law, there's rules of peace, rules of war, and rules of neutrality. There's only one neutral country in the world. Switzerland, or sila yung hindi apektado nito. But there's rules of war and rules of peace. There are specific rules when you fight. Sa giyera. Tayo, we don't create rules when we fight. So, me and my wife, we agreed this will be our rules. You will be honest with how you feel. You will specify the incident, the particular incident. You will tell me why you interpreted that incident that way, and you will tell me the consequence. Kaya yung, I feel when you, because, as a result. So malinaw yon. So whenever I communicate with her, and it starts with a conclusion, she goes, oh. Because when say, you know, I feel very sad today because when you did this, when you did not answer my calls. Because we agreed I will be calling you at 5 o'clock. As a result, I was held up or I didn't know what to do. So specific. Feeling, incident, interpretation, or agreement, and then consequence. Whether good or bad, lagging my consequence. Okay. Fourth and fifth, itong conflict counseling, it's a specific skill, but it's a separate training altogether. Myself, Pastor Bernard knows conflict counseling. We went to the same training. He went to the States. I also went through the same training. I practice that professionally. I'm a professional conciliator and mediator for contractual commercial disputes. I think it's an important skill for you to learn, but we can't teach that today. When a person approaches you on how to handle a conflict, how do you help that person navigate that conflict situation? That's a specific skill. And then when two groups are fighting, or there's a family, husband and wife fighting, how do you mediate between them? There are certain tips, there are certain rules and techniques, and there's a specific agenda that you can use. It's a separate skill altogether, a separate training altogether that I recommend to all of you. Again, here in this church, in Victory, I think there are at least 3 or 4 people I know who are trained to do conflict counseling and mediation as a skill. Talagang trained to do that. So, importante din yan. So, I'd like to end this portion by saying there will be negative events. Things will not flow smoothly as we desire. It's important for us to realize it's an opportunity to honor God. It's an opportunity to serve each other. It's an opportunity to also grow as an individual. And it's an opportunity for us to focus on the goal at hand. Kasi it's also important that we heal our wounds as we pursue our goals. It's important for us to heal as we go. Kasi hindi pwedeng tumigil. There's no stopping here. We can't be held back. That's what the devil wants, to hold us back. Because we're actually charging at the gates of hell. We're actually expanding beyond normal expansion. It's baffling so many church historians because this church is growing so fast. And our goal, our role as full-time workers, as volunteers, as ministers assigned by God to this church is for us to glorify Him in everything. The culture will develop as you go along. The tips here, I hope you will remember. And the volunteers like myself and others will always be here to supplement, to remind, to practice. If you want other trainings, we will all be here to help because this is the role that the Lord gave to me and gave to others because you are playing an awesome, awesome job. And so let's pray that the Lord will bless this organization with an organizational communication culture that will really inspire and honor Him. An organizational communication culture that is sensitive to other primary organizations. An organizational culture that will be efficient, that will be clear, complete, and timely. An organizational communication culture that will really inspire people to greater heights. God bless us all. Thank you.
Tarni Mark, do you mind? Could we pray a blessing over you as well? Could I call Pastor Ado? He's our cardinal, so the anointing is extra when it's him praying. But and I'll just close and agree.
Let's go. Thank you, Attorney Mark. We really appreciate what you invested in us, and this will bring us to the next level. If you feel like stretching your hand, it's okay. There's power in that too. Father, thank you for Attorney Mark. Thank you for what you're doing in his life. Lord, we can just see how you're working through him and in him. And Lord, we thank you that he is a beacon of light in that world that you have placed him in. And we pray, Father, that you will continue to multiply him. As you increase his anointing, his grace to do the calling, your calling in his life, I pray that you will multiply him. You will reproduce his kind, Lord, in that mission field. And Father, we pray that as he builds your house in that world, we pray that you will build his house as well. Whatever he lacks, whatever he needs, we pray that you will abundantly provide for all that in the name of Jesus. Father, just continue to bless this man and make him your messenger, Lord God, because he has an important message to speak. Continue to use him and promote him and bring him to the place, God, that you have called him to be in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you again, Tony Mark. Thank you, Pastor Otto. Yes, actually, Tony Mark, since they actually do consulting, one of the things they normally do is provide certification for the programs that they do run. So I'll work with them. We can all receive a certification of the program we just heard today. So these are really three different modules that he works through, and I really appreciate him running through it real quickly with us to give us an overview. If you're interested in something more than that, he's more than open to talking about it. He did the training, like I mentioned earlier, with Victory Ortigas, with their kids' church. I mean, Glenn has been hiding him. So no, but seriously, he's been serving as someone for the longest time. But the recent one was what I got wind of when I got to talk to Glenn about it. And so it's really exciting. I've been looking for somebody who can speak on communication for us that would be different from what we normally hear, which is the preaching component. Because we live in an organization that's strong, and it's always getting better. And we wanted to learn this other side of it, which is our side of the world, interfacing, emailing, when is it not email, all these things. And he really captured the heart of it. And I really appreciate what he was doing, because he was actually going to teach it in another organization. So when he said, well, I have this material, I'm already ready with, when he said it, I go, it's just change the name of the company. It's what we need. So I'm really excited about that. So once again, thank you, Attorney Mark. I'll look forward to more of that. We'll give you guys for the certificate. We'll let you know that. Okay. So at this point, I wanted to make a major announcement. You know, Pastor Paul's there in the back, sulking a little bit already. You know, not there. Okay. actually, for the last few months, Gigi, Karen, Pinky, and I have had a few discussions. We were realizing after we did a training needs assessment last year for this staff development program, we had originally intended for this to be a two-year program. But the bulk of the training that we received, and really it's been so meaty that it almost feels like there's a training overload of sorts, where we need time to actually do it already before we are ready to receive new training again. And so we look at that. Also, the need of the organization as we're continuing to grow in the admin side of the world. There's a layer of administrators that are on hold while we're in class waiting for the next batch to come in. And so we wanted to fulfill two things, which is one, release this group to start practicing what you've already learned. And then we want to pull everybody back in for more ongoing trainings, but more on a case-to-case basis now as we approach our own needs. But we want to also jumpstart a new batch. So because of that, we want to formally close this staff development batch. Oh, yeah. So congratulations. You are officially the first batch to finish the staff development program. Yes. So we wanted to end. So we appreciate HR Giselle and Jack has prepared some meals. In the words of Paul Barker, American-friendly meals. So burgers and pizza. So that'll be all available. And then we would want to ask a little bit of work involved, which is the assessment, a very quick assessment, because one of the things we're going to do is condense the program. We feel we can tighten it to a one-year for the staff, for the admin, we feel we can tighten it to a one-year staff program. It's quicker turnaround, but because of the growth of our supervisors and the admin side of the world, it's going to be better for us to churn out more supervisors quicker. So we're going to do a one-year program, August to November, January to April, and then jumpstart another batch in that school year paradigm. Okay, so that's where we're going. So the assessment, please do fill it up, because that will be the basis for what we will recommend to go into the one-year program. Based on what you recommend are must part, you know, these are musts to learn, these are good to have. So we'll rank it and rate it, and we'll fix the curriculum based on your recommendations. Okay, so let me pray for the food, and then this is our official, not the graduation, because this is not something we graduate from, but it's our official ending ceremony. Okay, so all right, let's just bow our heads, pray. Lord, thank you for everything we've learned in the last year and a half. Lord, it's been really, it really has achieved its goal, which is to stretch us and increase our capacity. I just am so grateful for every speaker, like Attorney Mark, Pastor Paul, and the others who have taken the time to really impart their very heart. More than just the skills that they've brought in, there's a heart that was imparted to us, and even a spiritual gift. So we thank you. Give us a grace, Lord, as we move on to the things that you've asked us to do, that we would be able to apply the things we learned, that we would not just be hearers, but even in this area, be able to do that which you've taught us. And I pray for the food, that you would bless it, and may we enjoy this time, a quick time of fellowship as we partake of lunch together and formally close the staff development class. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.